Welcome to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, nearly 60 million Americans live in rural areas. Today, we're going to talk with the founders of Save Your Town. It's a rural resource aimed at helping small towns realize their potential for development and innovation. First with us is Deb Brown. She shares stories and advice on social media. Last week, she and our next guest presented at the Rural X Summit in Aberdeen. Deb is the executive director of the Webster City Area Chamber of Commerce, among other duties. That's in Iowa, and she joins us from Webster City, Iowa right now. Deb, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me. And it's saveyour.town. It's actually our website, too.
The website is saveyour.town. We'll put a link up to that on our website after the show. Also with us is her partner, Becky McCray. She also lives the rural issues she writes about. Her experience and background is in ranching and in small-town retail business, but she also watches the global economy for trends and insight into rural America. Becky is joining us from Hopeton, Oklahoma. Becky, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Let's start with, does every small town have something in common? I'm sure they're all unique in their own way, but are there commonalities? Deb, let's start with you on that.
That's always a good question. Yes, usually it's people that care about each other. You find that more in small towns.
Hmm. Becky, you have any thoughts on that? Other themes that seem to come up again and again?
Oh, there's lots of themes. And I'm just going to flip what Deb said, because at the Rural X Summit, when they asked the audience members, what holds you back? What are the challenges that keep you from accomplishing the things you want to do? And the answers universally were the old guard, the negative people, the people who say, we tried that once. And so while our people are our greatest asset, I think they're also our greatest challenge in small towns.
Interesting. Was that a surprise to you, Becky, or is that something that you had heard before and maybe even had experienced before?
That is definitely something I've heard and experienced before, and it's something that, as a speaker, every place that I go in small towns, that is always the number one issue that comes up from the audience members. When we surveyed 232 rural people for the issues that are serious in their communities, other people came up as one of the highest ranked issues. So, no, I wasn't really surprised to hear that our other people are what hold us back. A lot of times we get to the point we kind of hear their voice in our head, and we swallow our own best ideas because we're used to that kind of negativity holding us back.
So, Deb, if I'm a member of the old guard and I've been here and I say, well, we have tried that before, how do I start changing my mindset or opening my mind and so I can still be part of the conversation? I don't want to be just thrown on the curb now because I've reached a certain age and level of experience.
Well, we just try to have some gentle conversations with you, and maybe we don't talk about you. Maybe we talk about your children and your grandchildren. Maybe we ask conversations about, well, what would you think about having your granddaughter who lives in another big city? How would it be if she were to come live here? How would she like that? Or how would your grandson like that? And start just having some gentle conversations about what your kids and grandkids would like, so that you could think in a larger realm instead of just thinking about maybe you can't do it anymore, but what would your family be able to do?
Sure. Becky, what are some of those big challenges other than people that folks in small towns are looking at in order to sustain and sort of move their town into a future that they want to be a part of?
Sustaining our own locally owned businesses is a big challenge, and it's key to our future prosperity. And so people mention things that hold us back in starting businesses, such as a lack of available buildings or a lack of ways to start and do smaller steps besides just going into an entirely big business. Isn't there some way I can test an idea or try things out? People also mentioned the lack of workforce as an issue, and that opens a whole can of worms there of qualifying skills and abilities and the things that disqualify our workforce and keep people from being able to work. So we have a lot of issues, but we also have a lot of great things in common as well. So I don't want to focus only on the bad things.
Right. Deb, can you give me an example or tell me a story about a small town that's done something really well or really innovative that sort of addresses one of those main problems, such as small business or available space or workforce?
Well, I'd love to talk about TNS to Pennsylvania always comes to mind. They took an empty lot. It's a town of 500 people. And they took a town of an empty lot in their downtown, and they put small sheds, like you would think of a garden shed,
mm-hmm.
and they put matching fronts to match their storefronts on it, and they had one gentleman that makes fishing lures out of his garage and decided to sell some fishing lures out of one of those sheds. A winery that's out in the country came into town and sold some wine out of that, and they put that those sheds on a garden on an empty lot in town, and I think there were maybe five or six of them. And it has really blossomed. So not only have they made the downtown even more beautiful, there's a waiting list to go into those beautiful little sheds in a downtown lot. And the rest of the stores downtown have cleaned up their act as well. So they took small steps, tried some things out, and it's working very well for them.
So are they up all the time, or is it more like a farmer's market model where they come in on a Saturday and set up and then leave?
No, I believe they're up all year round. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Becky, you want to give me an idea of workforce development and what can you think of a story where that's sort of been addressed in a really successful way?
San Saba, Texas has a wonderful economic development person there named Tony Guidroz. And Tony looked at his schools and realized that two-thirds of the students in his school were classified as at risk due to language barriers or income or any other challenge that left them qualified as at risk. He decided that wasn't acceptable, so he started a project called the Blue Collar Career Fair because he realized not everybody needs to go to college to get a good job. At the same time, he was hearing from employers who were saying, we can't find people to fill jobs. So he had those employers come and set up at the school and not lecture about what kind of jobs they had, but bring hands-on demonstrations. And so the electrician was there stripping wire with kids, and the welding companies were there, and they were setting up demonstrations about how you do welding. They had a little bobcat, and they let the kids do some earth moving there with small equipment under supervision. So basically these kids got to see what blue-collar jobs were available in their community. Didn't require a lot of education, but pay very well and are in high demand around the community of San Saba, Texas.
Interesting.
And so it was a big success in terms of connecting kids to jobs that are already there and improving their skills.
If you have a story about your small town in South Dakota, you want to tell us a success story, give us a call. It's 800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. Deb, from your experience, do kids want to stay or want to return, maybe if they have to go away for a little while? Do they want to grow up and raise families in the same town with their family, or are they kind of itching to get out of there?
Actually, we see more brain gain. Of course, they want to get out and go to college and experience that, but there's nothing like coming home. They want to be able to come to the town they know, a safe environment where their family is, and raise their family in a town that they know. Yeah, we are seeing that brain gain more and more.
And how do you go ahead and foster that so that kids feel like they can go somewhere and come back and bring that? Because there's a huge benefit to, I think, bringing that education home if it's a student who wants that kind of education.
Well, absolutely. And you start when they're young, in their middle school years, and get them involved in the community. And that's where your local churches, your chambers, your small businesses, you actually get them involved in living and working in the community when they're younger.
Interesting. Becky, tell me a little bit about the role of the arts, the fine arts, in a small town's success. Is that an integral part to have a sort of a vital art community, or is that not a given?
It's a wonderful thing when you do have it, because the artistic people bring a sense of creativity and a sense of moving around boundaries that more linear thinkers like me don't normally think. You know, we're thinking in a straight line, and the artists are going, but look at what all is possible in this other way. So artists do bring a wonderful flavor to a community. And there are innumerable examples of people that have changed the shape of their community through the arts, whether it's through a visual arts program. The downtown of Alva, Oklahoma, has been remade into an arts and culture district and is one of the very first pilot projects for the state of Oklahoma to see how that can shape the entire downtown business district. We see lots of mural and arts projects in terms of performing arts and people that do theaters that just transform their entire communities. The nearby town of Winoka, Oklahoma, did this in a very small way. It's a community of less than 1,000 people. and they were looking at, it was time to repaint the downtown utility poles. And rather than the city coming out and just painting them back into utility pole silver, what happened was individual organizations and groups and everybody's student organization each took one pole and painted it in some kind of a creative theme. So there's railroad trains on one, and there's handprints, and there's just all kinds of creative out there designs just on utility poles, because, you know, why not? It just adds some interest and life to the downtown.
Sure. Deb, let's talk a little bit about leadership and how to sort of develop that community civic leadership that is effective and brings people in and keeps the door open for innovation in small town thinking.
Well, you know, there's the standard, like our Extension Council puts together a leadership program every other year, and they partner with other organizations in the community. But there's also leadership where you just gather your crowd around you. You let the Committee of Negativity meet somewhere else, you know, that group. Let them stay at the coffee shop and meet, and you gather your friends, and you just start talking about the things you want to do, and then you go do them. So leadership no longer looks like committees. Leadership looks like crowdsourcing, where you get together and you determine the things you want to do. And maybe it's just one little thing in your block. Maybe you decide that you're going to have a block party and get everybody to know each other in that one block. Mm-hmm. And that's real easy to do leadership like that. Take small steps and start to gather your crowd and worry about the Committee of Negativity that's meeting somewhere else. Or don't worry about them. Sorry.
Becky, tell us a little bit about SaveYour.town and just the resources that are available there for folks.
Well, you know, Deb and I had met online, and we both care about small towns, and so we started SaveYour.town as a way that we could work together to collaborate on some resources that were available for small town people. And we've been doing a series of, we call them webinars, but they're not like those traditional webinars where it's like the boring voice and some slides just packed with graphs. Our webinars are live streamed video of us, and we explain things like how to rural jobs creation strategies, and we talk about what to do with vacant lots and buildings that have lost their roofs. Those are two of the most popular ones that we've done so far, and we've got another one coming up on filling empty buildings. And so we're very excited, because every small town, it seems, has an issue with empty buildings downtown, and how do you fill them? What kind of reuse projects can work? And what can work, especially if it's maybe not in the best of shape, because we all have some buildings that are not in great shape. So we're going to talk about all those kinds of issues. So right now our webinars are our primary tool, and then we're working on some tools, especially for people that serve more than one small town, because there's a lot of groups that are countywide organizations, or they cover an entire region, and so they have a lot of small towns they're working with. And it's like there's almost no tools designed specifically for people who are working just with small towns. So we're trying to work with people that have that particular challenge and develop the tools that are going to help them reach small communities.
Deb, give me a little teaser about the notion of filling downtown buildings. Can you give me one tip that I might hear in that webinar that's going to make me want to sign up for the whole thing?
We can show you how to fill empty buildings. And why wouldn't you want to know how to do that?
Yeah, tour of empty buildings. Tell her the tour of empty buildings.
Definitely. In my town, the first week I moved here, I noticed there were 14 empty buildings in a four-block radius. Within 2 years, we did a tour of 12 empty buildings. Within 1 year, 10 were full.
Really?
Let me tell you more about it on the webinar.
I'll let that one go. Becky, did you grow up in a small town?
I did. I grew up in small towns. My parents followed the oil boom through Oklahoma and Kansas and Texas, and I always spent my summers up here near Hopeton and Alva, Oklahoma. So my background is all in small towns, except for like 6 years. I lived in the big town of Oklahoma City when I was a kid, and I live here in Hopeton. It's population 30.
Wow. And what makes you stay?
Well, I married a local rancher, so that's one reason to stay. That's a great reason. But also, I love being in a small town. I really do. I used to think I would like it in a big city, and I have since realized, you know what? I really love a sense of community, a community that's built on a human scale where I can walk from one place to another in the town and to know people when I see them on the street and to have an opportunity to get involved and be on a scale where I can actually make a difference.
Hmm. Deb, it seems to me like a small town would be more nimble in getting things done. Is that a fair assessment, or am I missing something there?
I think it is. You know, I think you have an opportunity to make a real difference and gather people to you. And I think small towns are made up of people that really want to make a difference, and it's easier to bring them together.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Becky McCray and Deb Brown. They are the founders of SaveYour.Town. They have webinars and newsletters you can sign up for. They were in Aberdeen. If you were up at the Rural X Summit last week, you probably met them there. Becky, did you learn anything about South Dakota that you'd like to share with us? Any stories that folks told you that stick in your mind?
Oh, my gosh. I'm holding the brag basket notes. Let me look at my brag basket notes. Because one of the sessions, we had an open session, and it was like, put up any topic that you want to. And so I said, let's have a brag basket. Tell me your good stuff. And so there's Onward Yankton, where they had a big idea search across the entire community, which I thought was really awesome. There's someplace that there's an unused school building that is being turned into a community center. The school district donated it to the community. They're redoing it as a community center at a great savings over having to start their own. In Miller, there are 12 local downtown buildings and 45 more businesses in community that are filled by returning Miller graduates.
Oh, wow.
How long do you want me to go on? I got 2 pages.
Deb, any other takeaways from South Dakota that stick with you?
I love the small towns, the stories we heard from Wall, from Hot Springs, from just all over South Dakota. And it's such a wide expanse, the state itself. And if you can't find it in South Dakota, you can't find it anywhere.
I can't think of a better place to leave it than right there. I want to thank both of you for your time. Becky McCray, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Deb Brown, thanks for being here as well.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having us.